but your friend Nikki Dubs has to tell the truth.
I don't want to hear that either. One bad game and we're done?
Yeah, because I think it's more than just football with Jameis. I think it's he might be a trade candidate. I think those whispers about people getting tired of the antics of Jameis already, if, whether that's the organization or the locker room, I think those were real. I don't think those all of a sudden went away because he threw for 300 yards on Sunday. So, like, that's the time I think he's playing with.
Okay, I disagree with that, but we can do that later.
That being said, I do think trying to figure out the ceiling of this offense with Jameis and these wide receivers, I think is really, really interesting. Because I think that's the rub on how far they can truly go this season.
Yeah, I mean, you want to know who your quarterback next year is, whoever that ends up being, if that is a bridge guy, if that is a quarterback that you draft, you want to know if they're given a chance. And that's kind of what last week was, if we're kind of like hinting towards what you learned in many respects. Like last week, you kind of learned that, okay, it's not all on Elijah Moore. It's not all on Cedric Tillman. Like, there's some talent there. Jerry Jeudy, it might not be the world's greatest wide receiver room, but there's enough talent there that you can make a quarterback look good. Evidenced by Jameis Winston throwing for 330 yards and three touchdowns. Like, you can do it with this wide receiver core.
But I think the question is what we saw on Sunday the ceiling? Because I actually think it was. And that's less about...
I mean, yeah, I don't know how much we get. How are we getting higher than 330 with three touchdowns? And, I mean, he was near perfect was the problem.
I mean, and I don't mean to be dismissive here. How many touchdowns do you really score? Like, that's nice. It's great for us. But, like, most weeks, you're not going to score 29 points with how that looked. Simply because there is going to be a slight step back at some point because the interceptions are going to come. That's just a part of Jameis' game and probably just as much, if not worse, than it was with Joe Flacco.
Right, but if we're talking was last week the ceiling almost, then like we didn't have the interceptions. But you know what I mean?
I think it was because there were no interceptions.
Yeah, and that's I'm kind of alluding to the point you're getting at least I believe I am. You can make an argument for it. Did they score 40 points? No, they didn't score 40 points. You scored 28, 29, whatever it was at the end of it. Leading the league in the NFL is 34 points a game. It's not like it's a crazy high number off that.
Well, but so it's funny because I think the thing that we had with Joe that I think you're going to have with Jameis, and this is more my, all right, that was great. Now let's look at it going forward. I think he's going to actually even make more plays because the turnovers, like with Joe, yeah, there were a couple turnovers because like the postseason guys was pick sixes. That was just a bad day to have an awful day. If you look in the actual regular season with Joe.
That was an exact quote from J.W. Johnson, by the way.
You guys know.
It was a bad day to have a bad day. That's exactly what he said about the postseason appearance. That was it.
I'm the missing Haslam. People have been saying it. This whole time, I'm Cletus. Like, that's what people don't know.
Cletus Haslam?
I'm Cletus Haslam. Dude.
They give you less percentage of the will when your name is Cletus.
That is fine. It's still, that
your
percentage.
Your portion's large, but it's less than J-Dub.
Yeah, I can still live the rest of my life on drinking, boozing, and seducing my wife on Cletus Haslam.
J-Dub is so strong of a name. It's such a strong name.
It is.
Cletus is just...
Well, J.W. Johnson specifically.
Yeah.
That's...
It kind of has like a Howard Johnson, like a Hojo type thing going on to it too.
It comes with like a Warren Buffett stipend.
Yeah.
Like that's the kind of name that cachet J.W. Johnson. Cletus is here for 3%. All right. And that's what I'm here for. That being said,
it's a bad day to have a bad day.
If you look at Joe Flacco in the regular season, outside of, I think, the Rams game, which is his first game, right? Outside of that game, when you really look at his interceptions, they weren't the come at the wrong time, come at the wrong moment, end of game interceptions. They were the totally understandable interceptions.
Yeah.
I don't think people realize the Kyle Hamilton interception is kind of the run-of-the-mill Jameis interception.
Okay. Because, yeah, Flacco had a lot of them where you're like, that was an arm punt.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. That's not Jameis. Jameis is going to have...
Jameis is right when you need a play. This is not going to happen and go to your direction.
Well,
okay.
And sometimes it's going to happen where it does happen. That's the whole rub of Jameis. Is you are 50% of the time, you're going to get the big play you need.
Like the 3rd and 7.
It's 50% of the time the Kyle Hamilton interception will be caught by the other team. And I think that makes the need to overcome that with big plays. Like Joe didn't have as many those kind of interceptions, and Joe always made up for it with a big throw later in the game. With Jameis, you almost need to make more plays because the timing of his interceptions are going to be the ones that are super damning. The ones that aren't arm punts, they're the ones that are punts in the you-know-whats.
Yeah, I mean, he's a Bruce Arians. You got to risk it to get the biscuit, though. Like, that's his whole mentality.
Yeah.
And you saw it work in spades on Sunday.
And he burnt Bruce Arians out on no risk it, no biscuit.
Yeah.
Like, Bruce Arians is like, I'm going to make him throw his...
Bruce is like, this has been my phrase for 30 years, and you're making me remove it now because it's just how this is going.
This is like the cliche of, I'm going to sit here and watch you smoke the whole pack, but by the end of it, you're like... All right, we're never doing that again. That didn't work for me or you. You clearly haven't learned. You now have a two-pack-a-day habit. But no, I mean, I think that's where I have trouble understanding the true ceiling of Jameis because of the timing of interceptions and the type of interceptions.
Listen, I know we care about it for this year, but if the larger conversation is the true ceiling for the offense at whole, we care more about what it is for these wide receivers than what we care about what it is for Jameis.
Yeah, long term. There is still the midterm. There is still how long of a leash do you have? So, for instance, if you have two Kyle Hamilton-esque interceptions on Sunday and you lose, fun might be gone. And I'm here. Listen, I understand the Jameis versus DTR thing. If somebody came along and offered you a second-round pick or a third-round pick for Jameis, I get business is business. But I'm here for, even if it doesn't lead to wins, give me more of Jameis because it is fun to watch, and I'm sick of not fun football.
Well, I think you'd also agree, though, you're here for the idea that he clearly did make the wide receivers better. Like, if that's what we want to see and we want to justify, and if you're Andrew Berry, by the way, don't you have to acknowledge the fact that Cedric Tillman went from being looked at as a bust to now we're looking at Cedric Tillman as a really competent NFL player and something that maybe you can grow with?
I think
Berry needs the wins as often as he can get them. Jameis just did that for you.
I think the problem is, I think when you're still 2-6, and there's still probably some dysfunction in that building. One win doesn't cure everything. It pauses things. You win two in a row, now all of a sudden things get cured. You win three in a row, now everybody is not just cured, but you're living the best life.
But you see how many Andrew Berry's decisions become all of a sudden gold when Jameis brings the best out of these wide receivers?
Yeah, but I think...
Giving Jerry Jeudy a bunch of money becomes a really good decision.
Yeah.
Elijah Moore becomes a good decision.
But I think the problem is...
Cedric Tillman becomes a good draft.
I still think you're at spinning your wheels in every direction. I still think that's where you are until you get that next win. And by the way, when I say that next win, I mean you have to win this weekend because of that.
Yeah. By the way, I don't know if you've checked or not, the Chargers have the number one scoring defense in the entire NFL.
Is that good or bad for the Browns?
That's not good for the Browns. Okay. They also have not allowed a team to score more than 20 points in a game.
Is that also good or bad?
It's not good for the Browns.
Okay, thank you.
Just want to make that clear.
You can now go beyond 6 to 10 a.m. with Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima, the Modern Boys, on Tuesday and Thursdays with their emerging podcast scene. Listen live on 92.3 The Fan's Extra Channel on the free Odyssey app at 92.3thefan.com, presented by Extend Technologies, or check out every single archived episode. So the question at hand here is, what is the ceiling of the Browns offense with Jameis? And did you see it on Sunday? I think I've made my point.
I agree with you. I think the ceiling was that. No interceptions, three touchdowns, 330 yards. So that's as good as we could ever ask for.
Does that mean it's not repeatable?
That's also a premier day. No, that doesn't mean it's not repeatable. It's repeatable. You can hit the ceiling multiple times. It's just going to be something that I don't know that we come to expect every week, even though now, what is it, 5 out of the last 6 games, a Browns quarterback not named Deshaun has thrown for 300 yards? Like, that did become the norm with Joe.
So with that, we will get back to the Browns offense.
By the way, calling him Joe and not Flacco.
That's how we do
it. Like, first name basis.
That's this show.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
We call people, we're men. We talk like men, okay? When people think of this show, when people think of Nick and JP, they think of men.
Sure.
Okay.
Really sold that
That's not how you sell.
Really
no. You punctuate it with the softest shore in history.
Yeah.
If you had come through with a huevos grande,
we
would have punctuated it just fine.
And in between the break, I'll tell you how I installed my mailbox last weekend.
Your frauds in the afternoons.
Real man.
The 4-0 Cavs. How sweet it is. That's next on 92.3 The Fan.